Well, last Sunday, oh, I'm sorry, not last Sunday, but last month, actually. Last month, on Sunday, March 24th, a well-known church group kept the memorial of Christ's death. They believed that the scheduled Passover in April this year was going to be too late. And so they kept it closer to the spring equinox, you know, the beginning of spring. And even some members have wondered, well, why is it that Passover is a full month later than Easter? Because normally the dates of Easter and Passover occur about the same time. So this situation where there is an early Easter and a later Passover comes up every few years. And so it's important to know why we keep Passover a month later in this year. And so the title of the sermon today is Understanding the Hebrew Calendar. Now, I know that's a phenomenal task. We spent a whole semester in college going over that. And the Hebrew calendar, basically what it is and how it is calculated. It was quite technical. And so what I thought we would do is just look at some basic facts as to how it relates to the holy days. So first, let's review the dates of the feasts of the Lord. And they're found in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So that's what we do every feast season. We proclaim when they are to be kept. And the first two are listed in verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations that you shall proclaim. So it's mentioned here twice to proclaim them at their appointed times. The 14th day of the first month, the twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And then the next day, the 15th day of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And so we find that on the first day you shall have a holy convocation and do no customary work on it. The first two festivals of God are noted there. So it's very clear that the Passover would begin on the 14th day. We keep the New Testament Passover service on the 14th, but at the beginning, as Jesus did. And Jesus kept the Passover with the disciples on the beginning of the 14th. The next evening, after the Passover day is completed, the next evening begins the 15th day, which is the first day of unleavened bread. And it begins with the night to be observed. And that's the night that we usually get together at either members' homes or restaurants, celebrating the leaving of Egypt and us being called out of the world of confusion, which we see about us. Then the daylight portion of the 15th is when we have our holy convocation. So this is very clear as to the dates of the month, as to when these festivals occur. So the question is, what month are we talking about? Let's look at Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And verse 2. Exodus 12 and verse 2. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And so we find that in God's mind, he begins the beginning of his months, the first month, in the spring of the year, at the time of the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, which would be in the spring. So it's actually named here in Exodus 13, verse 4. On this day, you are going out in the month of Abib. It can also be called the month of Nisan, and it was the first month of the year. Abib means ears or green ears of grain. So it has to be in the spring of the year. Verse 10, and you shall keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. So we find the date in Leviticus, and of course in Exodus 12 and 13. We find the month named as the first month, and this is to be kept in its season, green ears, season of green ears, which would have to be in the spring. That date was understood for about 200 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was calculated as such until Victor, Bishop of Rome, believed that he had a right to determine and demand that all other churches conform to the practices of his church. And this is found in the Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers, Volume 1, Chapter 24. It states this, that the party of Victor, Bishop of Rome, stated that the day of the Lord's Passion, Passover, is one replete with sadness and with grief, and it should not be lawful to celebrate the mystery of the Lord's Passover at any other time but on the Lord's Day, meaning Sunday, on which the resurrection of the Lord from death took place. So even by that time, it was determined that Christ rose on Sunday morning, according to that belief. And he said that was also the cause of everlasting joy. So things began to move. Or you basically keep everything from Good Friday to Easter Sunday over that particular time. If you have not yet watched the Life, Hope, and Truth Presents about how Passover moved over, Passover was actually eclipsed by Easter. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch. You will be glued we watched it last night. It's just fascinating to see how that happened. You're getting 134,000 views on it. And we looked at one comment, and it was a pastor who had watched it, and he said, for 30 years, this has blown me away. I've never, basically understood that at that with what it was described there. Just a fascinating presentation. But it wasn't until after the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D. when the Roman Church finally adopted Easter Sunday would be kept on the first Sunday following the full moon after the spring equinox. This year, that Sunday was March 31st. First Sunday after the spring equinox. But why wasn't the Passover being kept at that time, around that time? Because the date in March was not the month of Nisan, according to the Hebrew calendar. It was not the month of Nisan, or the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Because this year, in 2024, we are in a Jewish leap year. And if you think about it, we're also in a leap year of the Roman calendar. Remember February 29th. So it's a leap year, both in the solar calendar and in the Hebrew calendar. But instead of a leap day in the solar calendar, the Jewish calendar has what's called leap months. They add an entire month to a year, and that's called an intercalary year. an intercalary year, meaning basically a leap month. And they call that last month Adar the second. Adar is the 12th month. If you are in a leap year, you have Adar the second month. So March was not the month of Nisan. It was the month of Adar the second. 84 years ago, in 1940, this was an issue that came up in the Church of God. Passover was a month later than the spring equinox. So the question came up in the church at that time, when do we keep the Passover? Some believed it should have been kept a month earlier than when it was scheduled to have been kept that year. So it was at that time that Mr. Armstrong wrote to the church a letter to the church about the calendar. And I'd like to quote a paragraph from the letter, and it was written in the spring of 1940. And I quote, he said, "Unless God has preserved his sacred calendar through the Jews, then we do not know how to figure Passover or any other holy days this year. There is no other authority for any other way. There is no biblical authority whatsoever for figuring the first day of the first month from the new moon nearest the spring equinox. You can't find it in the Bible. There's no authority for that. God did not commit his oracles or the preservation of his times to profane history or to the Roman Catholics, but to Israel. And they have been preserved by the Jews." Unquote. So that's been the determination that we've understood in the church for all those decades, over eight decades. Let's notice Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 1. "What advantage then has the Jew? What is the profit of circumcision?" So Paul is asking a question and answering it. He says, "Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God," to the Jewish people. They had been used by God to preserve the oracles. Now, the Greek word for oracles is logion, from logos. The word here denotes the divine utterance or the word. The oracles of God include the Hebrew scriptures. The Old Testament was preserved in Hebrew. So the Hebrew scriptures are the oracles of God. The Jews also have maintained the knowledge of the seventh day Sabbath. They've maintained it and still maintain it when the seventh day Sabbath occurs, which day it is, because there is no calculation you can see from the sun or the moon when the seventh day Sabbath occurs, except when the sun reaches the seventh day, or it's on the seventh day. So we believe that the calendar, with all of its various calculations, the Hebrew calendar and all its various rules, is how God preserved the means by which we can know when the holy days occur. This is from the Catholic Encyclopedia on the Easter Controversy. And I quote, "In the beginning, Christians depended upon Jewish authorities to calculate the date of the Passover and thus of Easter. But by the third century, some Christians started to determine Easter independently. Since the date of the Passover, 14th of Nisan, depends on a lunar calendar, there was a perennial problem of reconciling the shorter lunar year with the longer solar year." We'll see that in a minute. That is the main issue. Which calendar is to be used for the holy days? A lunar calendar just with the moon? A solar calendar just with the sun? Or both? Now, that's an important question to ask. Let's look at Genesis 1, verse 14. Genesis 1 and verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which would be the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. And he also made the stars. Two great lights. This is the means by which a calendar is set. The sun and the moon. The sun determines days. The moon determines months. And both of them can be determining years. And as I mentioned before, nothing in the skies determines a full week of 7 days, the seventh day, except God at the very beginning determined the seventh day was to be the Sabbath. And that has been kept and established by the Jews for all those centuries. What this means, though, regarding the calendar, between what we use today and what the Hebrew calendar use, there are some differences. So we'll look at that. Now, what I've tried to do is put my following notes of the sermon on the screen so that you could follow along, because it can get a little complicated and a little, and I'll try to explain these as we go through these particular slides. So at this time, we'll begin the slides. Oh, they're up there. Huh. Okay. Okay, thank you. Hope all of you can see this, but let me start reading through here. Find my notes. The calendar year. Calendar years. First, there's what's called the solar year. It is how long it takes the Earth to rotate around the sun. We basically know that, 365 and a quarter days. Now, the Gregorian calendar, which we use, and Pope Gregory at the time back in about the 1500s, changed it from the Julian calendar. But what we use today is a solar year of 12 months long. And here's the interesting thing about that calendar. It's kind of, who determined this? 4 months only have 30 days. And 7 months have 31 days. And 1 month, 28 days. So talk about different rules for different calendars. This was a different rule. And then an extra day for every 4 years. So that's a solar year. Now we come to the lunar year. This is how long it takes for the moon to rotate around the Earth 12 different times. From one new moon to the next is about 29 and a half days long, which makes the lunar year being about 354 days long. And guess what? That's about 11 days shorter than the solar year. 11 days shorter. Let me give you an example of a lunar calendar. The calendar used by Islamic countries, Islamic people, is based on 12 moon rotations. Their year is 364 years, which is 11 days shorter than the solar year. So what happens to their holy days. What happens to them? For instance, Ramadan. That is in their ninth month. That month can actually fall any time throughout the year in different seasons because it is not synced with the solar year. Ramadan this year started in March. In 3 years, it'll be in February. In another 3 years, it could be in January. It doesn't stay within a particular season. The Hebrew calendar is what is called a lunar solar calendar. In other words, it is synced together with the moon and the sun. It relies on both lights in the heavens. For the Passover to always be in that season, as we saw, it must be in that season, in the spring of the year, the Hebrew calendar needs to be in sync over time with the solar years. And that's why you have a leap month, an intercalary month. Otherwise, like Ramadan, the holy days would not fall in the season of the spring. Okay. Forgot about this. Wrong button. So I am on technology. That's why this is up there, to put it down so we all could read through this together. The Hebrew calendar is actually calculated on a 19-year cycle. That 19 years includes 12 common years, and the 12 months are named. And the first month, as you see there, is Abib. The third month is Sivan, that normally Pentecost falls in. And then you see the seventh month is called Tishri. And the last month of that 12 common years is Adar. Now, in that 19-year cycle, there are also seven intercalary years, and those being the ones noted there, the 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th, in which a full 13th month is called Adar the Second. We are in the eighth year of those 19-year cycles, and 2024 is a intercalary year. And here's something about the Hebrew calendar. It can have, a common year can have 353 to 355 days. An intercalary year could have more, 385 days. We're talking about some really hefty calculations that can be found. If you go to the Jewish Encyclopedia, you can find all of this information and even how to calculate it. And for those of you who are really into math, you know that you can't fudge math. Math is a constant. And I believe that from all of those who studied math, because I never could get it, but, you know, for those who understand math, you know what that's all about. What this does, this particular type of calculation with these intercalary months keeps the lunar year in sync with the solar year. Now, I want to quote here from The Essence of the Holy Days, if you could see that there. The calculation of the calendar was transmitted to the sages in an unbroken chain going back to Moses. According to the ancient calculations, the exact time between one new moon and the next is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 parts of an hour. In other words, one lunar month is 29.53.59 days. So NASA did some calculating, And they determined that one new moon to the next is 29.53. Okay. Thank you. I must be doing something wrong with it. Okay, so the other thing is that they found that, and they have the most sophisticated telescopes and computers. So the difference between what the Jews were able to calculate, which began more than 3,000 years ago, it's only 2 millionths of a day off. 0.00002, or 2 millionths of a day off the calculation. So with the intercalary years, the Hebrew calendar is synced mathematically with the solar years, so that the holy days always fall in the right seasons. So now we go to the beginning of months. There it is. Thank you, Mr. Zollner. I don't know what I would do without Mr. Zollner. He's such a good help on everything. Beginning of the month. Okay, it's based on the new moon, which is the conjunction of the sun and moon and the earth. It's when the sun and moon are aligned with the sun and earth on opposite sides of the moon. This is from timesanddates.com. So the first we could see is when the moon is between the earth and the sun. That starts the new moon. And then the other graphic shows how the new moon rotates around the sun, how the moon rotates around the sun. First, it's the new moon, the first of the month. The full moon is the 15th of the month. And that's why when you find the 15th of the month for the days of unleavened bread, the 15th of the month for the Feast of Tabernacles, you will always find a full moon during those times in the right seasons. All right, let's go to the history of the Hebrew calendar then. And as we can see, that it is calculated. No one knows how far back these calculations go or even why the benchmark is used as Tishri the One, meaning the Feast of Trumpets, first day of the seventh month, 3761 BC, is used. But that's the date that the Jewish people used to calculate the calendar. That was a pre-flood date, but not the beginning of creation, according to some of the records that we see in early Genesis. So this is a date that was picked for some reason. That's why 2024 is the Hebrew year of 5785. You'll see that in most Hebrew calendars, the year of 5785. That's 361 when it was determined, the first of Tishri determined then, plus 2024, and you come to 5785. Now, what's interesting is Josephus makes the following comment about the children of Seth. And he says, according to Book 1, Chapter 2, they also were inventors of that particular sort of wisdom that is concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order. Somehow, and the Bible doesn't show, but somehow this type of calculation had to be revealed. And it's so complex, I believe somehow God had to have revealed it in some way, in some form. The rules and the calculations of the calendar were shrouded in mystery for centuries. But they were published in 359 AD by a Jewish leader and scholar called Hillel II. And it's based on the importance of Tishri the One, first of Tishri. So we'll go to next slide. Importance of Tishri 1. So not only are you having the addition of the intercalary years, the timing of the first of Tishri, or the Feast of Trumpets, is essential for the calculation of all the holy days in any given year. All of them hinge on when Tishri 1 begins, the first day of the seventh month. So within the Hebrew calendar, there's what's called postponements, or dioth. And from the comprehensive Hebrew calendar by Albert Speer, those details are listed, the rules are listed in details. Now, as we'll notice in those postponements, you'll see the word molad. Molad means the birth of the month. And that's the accepted time of the beginning of a month. And as we go through some of these short postponement rules, the calendar would be in a perpetual state of confusion. Because some of the years, some of the common years would be irregular. Some of the intercalary years would be irregular. And as we'll see, the calendar actually serves the festivals of God. And if you have not yet read this study paper, I would really suggest you do so. It's on the members' website, the Hebrew calendar. And again, it's quite fascinating to go through. Okay, we come now to the postponements. There they are. Four postponements. So here's the first one. When the Molad of Tishri occurs at or after noon of a day, the first day of Tishri on the calendar is postponed to the next day. The reason being, and it actually makes sense, if this didn't happen, we'd be celebrating on the Feast of Trumpets when over half of the day was already over. So you want to keep the Feast of Trumpets on a full day. And it would have some of that molad of Tishri, the determination of it. If it occurs there on noon or afterward, you have to postpone it. Then the next one, it's kind of interesting. If the molad of Tishri falls on a Sunday, a Wednesday, or a Friday, it is also postponed to the next day. Now, these are all within the rules of the calendar. And this calculation is actually an added benefit for the other holy days. For instance, if it fell on a Sunday, the first of Tabernacles, and the last great day would fall on a Sunday. And then that would account for three of the fall holy days to be back-to-back with the Sabbath. And it would be a little bit difficult to keep that way. The only two holy days that fall on a Sunday are Pentecost and the first day of unleavened bread. And as I mentioned earlier, when it's moved to a day, it all is about the calendar and the calculations of the calendar from one year to the next. Now, some have said, well, wait a minute. For instance, if it fell on a Wednesday, let's look at this one. The Day of Atonement would be on a Friday. And since no food preparation can be done on that day, it would be difficult to prepare for the weekly Sabbath. Also, the Passover evening would fall on a Saturday night, and that's most difficult to prepare for it because you're going from the Sabbath into that Passover. So some have said, well, I don't believe that postponement should be accurate in determining when Feast of Trumpets takes place. I don't think that postponement should be followed. Well, if you take that one out, it will mess up the calculating of the year, whether it's a common year or a intercalary year. All of these work together. All four of them work together. And as Mr. Armstrong said, what other authority do we have? Who among us can change any calendar? Just like with the Gregorian calendar. Well, we don't like 30 days being in June. We want 31 in June. Well, wait a minute. You change the year. You change everything with the calendar. Now, if it fell on a Friday, there would be no preparation time for the weekly Sabbath during the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day, as each of them would fall on a Friday. The only holy day that falls on a Friday is the seventh day of unleavened bread. And when you look at the keeping of the Feast of Trumpets through the years, going back to the first time we came into the church, all the way on into the future, you know, we get this little calendar every year that calculates the holy days. It's all based on the Hebrew calendar. All based on the calculations of the Hebrew calendar. Now, rules 3 and 4, a little bit complex because they postpone the first of Tishri if the new moon occurs at a certain time on a Monday or a Tuesday. And these rules regulate the length of the year. If all these rules weren't in force, the common year would have a day too many, and the intercalary year would have too few days. So that is how the Hebrew calendar is. And I'm, again, just the tip of the iceberg. So what is that for us? And that's the end result. There we come to that slide. The end result is Abib 1 is 177 days from Tishri 1. It's right in the middle. Abib 1, Tishri 1, Abib 1. Passover, spring of the year, on the 14th. Day of unleavened bread, Abib, always in the month of Abib. Abib 21, seventh day of unleavened bread, it's all within the season of green ears. Abib. Sivan is the only holy day that has to be counted. So we rely on the keeping of when the days of unleavened bread take place in Abib, in Passover and days of unleavened bread, and then it has to be counted. It usually falls on in the month of Sivan. Tishri, then, Feast of Trumpets. Seventh month, 10th day, Day of Atonement. 15th day, first day of a Feast of Tabernacles. 22nd day, 8th day, or last great day. Abib and Tishri. This is what we keep. These are the days we keep based on those calculations. Okay, we could go ahead and turn off those slides. Let's look at a couple of scriptures now. Let's look at Psalm 104, verse 19. Psalm 104, verse 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. This month that we are in is the proper season for keeping the Passover and days of unleavened bread this year. He appointed the moon for seasons. We can determine those because of the calculations of the moon, and the sun, of course, knows it's going down and when it rises, and you know, with the 24 hours in a day. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon, the stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea, its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. the ordinances of the moon. One new moon to the next can be accurately calculated. It's an ordinance that is still in place because there is a remnant of Israel still in place. So those ordinances will continue. But before we conclude, let's look at a prophecy of what we find in Daniel that will take place in the future. Daniel 7, verse 25. Daniel 7, verse 25. And we're talking about the time of the beast and the false prophet. We're talking about a time when he shall speak pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. And the saints will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Now, when you look at the phrase times, it can also, in a number of commentaries, refer to the appointed times, to the appointed times. Now, this happened before. This is a prophecy, as we'll see, is for the future. But we also see this happened before. Now, according to the Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges, they say that, and I quote, that to change times and law is worded generally. So it's a general comment here. And according to that publication, and this is their .com publication online, it mentions that Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a Greek king, king of the north, he sought to interfere arbitrarily and with attempts to suppress the Jewish religion by prohibiting the observance of religious festivals and other ordinances of the law. And so Cambridge Bible references the book of Maccabees. Now, 1st and 2nd Maccabees are found in the Apocrypha. Thing is, those particular books are often noted as sources of historic information about the Maccabean revolt that resulted in the keeping of Hanukkah for the Jews. So they're looked at more of a secular historic source. So I want to read just a portion of Maccabees 1, verse 41 to 49. The king, Antiochus, issued a decree throughout his empire that his subjects all were to become one people and they were to abandon their laws and religion. Moreover, the king sent agents with written authorities and orders to Jerusalem and the towns of Judea. Sacrifices in the temple were forbidden. Sabbaths and feast days were to be profaned. Swine and other unclean beasts were to be offered in sacrifice. The 15th day of Kislev. It's on the Hebrew calendar. 15th day of Kislev was when the abomination of desolation was set up. Anyone discovered with the book of the covenant or confirming to the law were put to death. Then on the 25th day of Kislev, they offered sacrifices on the pagan altar. This was not in the seventh month of Tishri. It was in the ninth month, Kislev, that normally falls in late November and December. Hanukkah actually begins in December in Kislev, the month of Kislev. This year, it's interesting. We're talking about, you know, the leap year in the solar year, and we're also talking about the leap month, the intercalary month in the Hebrew year. So Hanukkah falls this year on December 25th. As a national holiday when the revolt took place against Antiochus, and it was successful. But it's also a remembrance of what took place on the 25th when Antiochus offered all these sacrifices on his altar. What was he doing? He was changing times. He was changing seasons. And one wonders what will happen in the future. Notice Daniel 7 now. Daniel 7. Because we're seeing that Daniel 5 is in context with the end before Christ returns. The court will be seated. Verse 26 of Daniel 7. They'll take away his dominion and consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. This is future. This is the time when Jesus Christ returns. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. This kingdom that will be set up by Jesus Christ will do away with all the other kingdoms. Will do away with whatever the beast and the false prophet sets up. And then guess what happens? Guess what is kept? We find this in Ezekiel 45. Ezekiel 45. Verse 16. During the millennium, Ezekiel 45, verse 16. And all the people of the land will give this offering for the prince in Israel. And it will be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and grain offerings and drink offerings at the feasts, the moons and Sabbaths, and at all the appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. Then we find in verse 21, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover, a feast of unleavened of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. The first month, according to the Hebrew calendar, is Abib and Nisan. So God's going back to the original calendar, the calendar that has been kept by the Jewish people and by the Church of God to determine when these holy days take place. Verse 25, the seventh month, Tishri, the 15th of the month shall be the feast. You shall do likewise for 7 days according to the sin offering, burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. The holy days will be reestablished, will be kept in their appointed seasons. So that's the future. So as we prepare to keep God's festivals this coming year, beginning next Sunday evening, I hope we can be assured that we are keeping them on the days appointed. And not only that, that we can be very thankful to God that he's given us the knowledge of what these days mean for us and all of humanity.